change.
What aftershave are you using?
Never converse with the punters. Slows things down.
Money down.
Speed is volume. Volume is profit for the casino. Aim at 40 spins an hour.
Place your bets, please.
Wednesday, December 12, 2018. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. Clip at the top of the show comes from a 1998 movie called Croupier with Clive Owen. Clive Owen plays a dealer, also known as a croupier. And he, in that scene, is sort of, he's you can hear the narration in his head commenting on the efficiency of dealing. I decided to use that clip because when you hear some of the things that happened, some of the disagreements that I got in with dealers and floor staff from our trip to Biloxi, you'll understand why maybe I kind of wish that was the way people approached me at the table. Don't get me wrong. I'm just being funny. I love interaction with dealers. It's part of what makes casinos fun. But man, Biloxi was full of side bet shaming and a lot of, to be honest, both dumb and unprofessional approaches to dealing. This weekend, haven't been to the casino in a couple weeks, but this weekend, Saturday, I'm gonna head down to MGM for a little bit. They have a little kiosk game promotion for free play. I think first play, the first game is free. I think everybody gets one of those, and then you have the opportunity to earn slot points, only 25 slot points, and you get to play the game again. And you can do that up for 5 times a day. I mean, 25 slot points is not a lot, especially when you're playing like dollar jacks or better. And the jacks or better here is 9-5, not full pay, I know. But the best game that I'm going to find in this area, I think they have double-double bonus. It's a little bit better, but there's no way that I know that game well enough to get the payout anticipated over how I can play jacks or better. So I played dollar jacks or better over there, and 25 slot points is not difficult to get. And so I will most likely go over there, swoop up my initial free play, and then hopefully turn that first free play into a little bit and let that ride me into the other opportunities to play the game and see if we can't come out ahead on that free play. I want to thank everybody who took the opportunity to listen to last week's episode with Vegas Runner. Got so much great feedback on that. And look, it was one of those things that I knew it was good. I knew that people were going to enjoy it, but I did not anticipate that type of response. Such a great opportunity to talk to VR. Let him just sort of vent and let him go about his story. It was an interesting perspective to get, I think, for a lot of people, especially those that have been following him for a while. And we look forward to having him on again. I promise you that in 2019, we will have VR on at least one more time. TheBetterLife.us/merch is where you can cop some shirts. We got gambling shirts. The rest of the website's quite barren, but if you want a gambling-themed shirt to rock at the rock at the casino, keep calm and throw dice, one of those idiots who believes in analytics, and of course the Better Life t-shirt. You can go to thebetterlife.us/merch. If you use promo code YO11, you'll get 11% off of your purchase there. All right, rolling into this week's featured segment, it's with Mississippi Rob. We're going to do a little trip report from our time down in Biloxi. Just the trip report. I know we haven't heard from Rob yet. This is his first time on the show, but we're gonna bring him on. We're gonna do the trip report, and then probably early 2019 we'll get him back on for a feature interview, for a typical, you know, how'd you get exposed to gambling, how do you gamble now, games of choice, stuff like that. We'll get that interview out of Rob. We thought about doing a mix, like half opening with that stuff and then going into the trip report, but I didn't want to force that. So we're gonna bring Rob back on for the traditional interview. this is our trip to Biloxi. It was a whole lot of fun. I really enjoyed hanging out with everybody and discovering a new casino and gambling location. All the frustrations that I had with dealers and stuff were frustrating in the moment, but entertaining to talk about. So here is Mississippi Rob with our trip report from Biloxi. I guess I'll address you as Mississippi Rob. That's probably right.
That's fine with me.
That's fine. All right. Yeah, Mississippi Rob here to help me with a trip report from our recent visit down to Biloxi, Mississippi. I have some notes here on some things that I want to point out, but I'm actually just going to be following your tweet, your 14 or 15 part. No, how many tweets is in here? 20. There are 20 parts.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So Mississippi Rob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you today, Tim?
I'm okay. The last week was not good for me on the books. I got behind early in the week and just couldn't make up the loss going through, because that's what we do as gamblers, right? We chase losses. and I couldn't catch it.
Yeah, so for me, since I live a little ways from any of the sports books, I laid off for the last week, and of course the week after I put in all of my bets where everything goes bad. Now it would have gone good, you know, everything flips the other way. So, yeah. Basically the same end for me.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I got in Thursday evening. I flew into New Orleans, rented a car, drove out to Biloxi. And I ended up staying at Harrah's. I didn't try any like $20 trick or anything like that. I wasn't sure like if that's something that just works in Vegas or if I can do that like really anywhere. I don't know. I just checked in. They gave me a room and it was fine. And then immediately went down to the casino floor. And the first thing that I noticed was that the craps table was $10. And the pie gal table was $5. And Rob, this is the first time I've ever been in a casino where the pie gal table was cheaper than any of the craps tables available.
Yeah, now that is, I will say, you see a lot, a lot of $5 pie gal tables in the majority of the casinos down in Biloxi, but that is an oddity, I do believe, just about Harrah's in Biloxi there, Harrah's Gulf Coast, as it's called. I had actually never visited that casino until this trip. My mainstay is at a number of the others, but the one thing that I had heard, and one reason I hadn't been to Harrah's Gulf Coast in recent years, is because I had heard that the table that they kept open was a $10 crapless craps game most of the time, so that's why I kind of avoided it. And I think even on a later day where we were all kind of there, I noticed the same thing then, that it was a $10 crapless craps. So I think they're just trying to force people on that table. But yeah, I can actually say that I don't know that there's another casino on the Mississippi coast that I could find that would actually be that way. But again, most of them would just have $5 of each.
Yeah, now I was aware that they had a crapless craps table, but I didn't really think much of it. A couple of days later, I walked up to the only craps table that was open. Threw my money. I wasn't even paying attention. The point was off, so I just like walked up. I threw my money on the table. They gave me my chips, and then I looked down and I started looking around, and I was like, oh, is this crapless craps? And the dude was like, yeah, are you looking for the don't? And I was like, yep, that's what's going on right here. And I was like, well, do you want me to color up? Because I'm going to go do something else. And so I exchanged for some green and I left. And then that's the only time I've ever been at a crapless craps table, is when I mistakenly bought in, not realizing that that's the table that I was at. Because it was the only one open. I figured, because they had both tables, and for most of the weekend, the craps table was open, the real craps table. And there was one night where they were both open. I didn't realize that the other one was a crapless craps table. So when I got there one morning, And I saw the one was open. I just assumed it was also a craps table. But Thursday nights, I was by myself. We didn't meet anybody up with a group until Friday. I just did a bunch of playing, man. I played Pai Gow. I played craps. I made some sports bets. It was a nice night of sort of getting around the casino. And I think I lost a little bit at craps. Got most of it back at Pai Gow. Lost a little bit more at the blackjack table, and then got a little bit back from the sports book. So I went to bed down just a little bit. But the thing that, of course, everybody was giving me a hard time for, Rob, was that on that Thursday evening, the Saints got absolutely embarrassed by the Dallas Cowboys. And I had just touted how much I loved the Saints on the teaser going into that game, which meant that I essentially just liked their odds of winning. I wasn't looking at a blowout or anything like that, but I was confident they were going to win that game, and they didn't. And everybody let me know that happened.
The good thing for me as a Saints fan, and one bad thing this year, as well as they've been doing, I'm always afraid, I'm scared to death to put any money on them because, I just think I'll jinx them the other way. But the nice thing for me was, is because I had about a 4-hour drive down that evening to Biloxi, and so all I got there was for about the last few minutes of it. And so I knew what was going on. A buddy was keeping me up to date, but at least I didn't have to watch through the pain of it.
Yeah. The following morning, I got up and had some breakfast, did some work, and you would let me know that you were downstairs in the Harrah's Gulf Coast Sportsbook. So I wandered on down that way and got to meet you for the first time. We sat down, we chatted. What did you think of the sportsbook setup right there? It's pretty simple for a casino they didn't have any racing. Do you have racing in? Like horse racing, like off track betting, like would that have already been?
No. Yeah, no. I don't know of any. At least as far as the Biloxi casinos go, I don't know of anyone who has anything to do with any of the horse or any kind of racing, anything like that. I know when I used to live in Louisiana, they have a little bit of that up in like the Shreveport-Bossier area.
Yeah.
But I don't know of anything like that actually. Even statewide, as far as I know, but I thought the sports book, I mean, it was basically just enough to get by. I mean, they had, some comfortable chairs to sit in and kind of with no pressure on you, with a good little TV setup. But again, it's basically just, just a little portion of the main floor there that they just kind of sectioned off and put a counter at. I don't know what used to be there, but one nice thing about that compared to some of the other ones that we saw throughout the weekend was at least it wasn't like a restaurant requiring you to get a table that, kind of putting pressure on you to order stuff, even if it's not, a mealtime or something like that. So I could at least enjoy that. You were kind of left alone. But again, it was nothing compared to a Vegas sports book, or even there was a couple other ones that I kind of liked in Biloxi, but that one was pretty simple, basic as far as that goes.
Yeah, so the trend we're seeing even in Vegas, which has had sports books for forever, right? But the trend we're seeing in places that are renovating for a sports book, or they're building a new one, is they're building it around or with, like Park MGM did this. They're building a restaurant, a sports bar, they're like a food venue that then also has a counter nearby where you can make bets and all these screens where you can watch the games. And you're right, this was one of the few that I think we saw in Biloxi where it really was just a book sitting inside a casino, right? It was you were feet away from slot machines and table games, right? So it was comfy. I was surprised at how few people I would see even during the primetime games that like sitting down actually watching the games. That actually kind of surprised me, but that probably has something to do with the fact that I noticed that I don't think they really had a main screen. It was a bunch of screens all the same size, not decent size screens, but there was no like one screen for like a primetime game or for like the main game of the moment. So maybe that didn't attract as many people.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I've heard that a number of them, like you could kind of tell throughout the weekend as we saw them, some of them were just kind of temporarily built up just to get something in, in play before football season started, because I think it was legal at like the very beginning of August of this year. So a number of them have already kind of made statements that they would open up something to get by for now, and then sometime during the spring or summer in a lower not as busy season, they're going to build it out and kind of make the full spread everything that they expect. So that's I don't know that Harrah's Gulf Coast will, but I know that the Beau Rivage, and I'm assuming that at least a couple others are kind of planning to do it that way too.
Yeah. After I made a couple bets at the Harrah's, you and I headed over to Golden Nuggets. where we walked around a little bit. We checked out the sports book there. That was a situation where they had the counter was outside. Like you could access the counter and kiosks from like the main casino area, but any screens they had were inside of a restaurant. We walked in briefly, but we didn't spend any time there. I'll get this out of the way now. The kiosks did not the kiosk there did not really do anything for me, mostly because the people who I was there was never like an easy or efficient system to the kiosk. There was people always just hanging out at the front of the line at the kiosk, even in that where there's that bank of five of them. Man, like people would just stand there staring at the screen like a monkey doing a math problem, or they would like there would be like two or three of them around one, and like you could tell they weren't really doing anything. Like they were just sort of scrolling through, like it was like some form of entertainment. So the kiosks meant to be a more efficient way of getting bets down. That was not the case. We did make some bets, and we before we get to the blackjack game, we did. What are your feelings on the kiosks there at Golden Nugget?
Yeah, I think I agree with pretty much everything you just said. They're meant to kind of help things along, but what ends up or at least my impression of them, what it ended up being was, is you get a bunch of folks who aren't as familiar with it, and they're trying to put in, more than likely in some of the few that I saw, they're trying to put in, you know, $10 and bet like a 10 or 12 team parlay, and they really don't know what they're doing and things like that. And so groups just end up congregating, and they don't even have a game set out to pick, you know, whereas me or you, we kind of had our ideas ahead of time, and we're just trying to, you know, boom, boom, and get it done. So it doesn't matter if we're at a counter or a kiosk, we're just trying to find the quickest way to get in and get out. I think that was the major issue with it. Now, I will say, hopefully going forward, once they get mobile apps and all that kind of stuff legalized and everything else, maybe they'll be one of the quicker ones to do that. And I think even in the meantime, it's legal for them to have the mobile app as long as you only are allowed to use it on the site of the casino. So maybe sometime, you know, before next football season rolls around, or you know, maybe they'll come up with that, and that would allow people on site. But obviously the sports books weren't necessarily motivated to do that as much, because if you're there, you could just come to a kiosk or you could come to the counter. But yeah, the kiosk, like you said, it was meant to be a good thing, but at least as of now, while nobody really knows what they're doing, or a lot of the amateur, more public folks, yeah, it's just kind of detrimental. And we ended up, at least I think maybe the next day, just going and getting in line, just because it was that much quicker.
So afterward, yeah, absolutely. I think we'll share the experience we had at the counter at the end of the trip. After we played some bets, we went over to the blackjack table. They had a $5 blackjack table. We went over intentionally trying to find their Pai Gow table. They had one for every time we were at Golden Nugget, Rob. Their Pai Gow table was never open at Golden Nugget.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising to me. Now, I will say they are a little more selective there, I guess, that I've seen that somewhat before, but I still figure going to a weekend, you know, that it would be a little more prevalent. But obviously, yeah, it sure wasn't. For a Friday, I guess we went right around lunchtime or so, and I was kind of surprised by that. So
we sit down, we play some blackjack, $5 blackjack. I think both of us ended up leaving up, which was always nice. But two things happened at that blackjack table. Two things that became a theme of the weekend for me, Rob. One, getting into a disagreement with casino staff on on whether or not something like a play should be made, or how, like the reality of gambling at that particular game, and what I ended up calling side bet shaming. So we'll start with a side bet. So there is, we were playing at a blackjack table that had the three thing, right? Like depending on what your two cards were and the dealer's up card, a combination would win you something, right? Trips, straight, stuff like that.
Yeah, it was two different, like three card bets. And I learned long ago that I wasn't going to pay attention to any side bets on the blackjack table. So I just didn't even pay any attention to it till our friend walked up there and started giving us some friendly advice. But yeah, it was some kind of three card bet, and I think multiples of them.
Yeah. So what Rob was referring to is this guy sits down, and he's someone who enjoys a side bet. And he told us multiple times, he told us the same story of how he hit like the straight flush side bet or something like that. And I don't know if we didn't praise him enough for it, and that's why he kept on bringing it up.
Was it Well, see, what I think I remember correctly, I think what happened was is, you know, of course, since I'm not playing the side bet, I don't even acknowledge it. I'm pretty sure the first three or four hands that I got, now I don't even remember, I think I was losing the blackjack hand, but of course, the first three or four times I would have gotten paid on a bonus.
Right.
And so that just, you know, that stirred him up and he couldn't help himself, you know, after that point. So then he started, you know, then he, you know, like you mentioned while we were there, he starts mentioning or following every hand on every, on the whole table, you know, just, I mean, really like coming out of his seat talking about it, you know, like getting so excited for us or something. And he wasn't really being rude. He was just like, you know, a little bit too much in your business. Like, okay, we got, you know, we got the picture.
Yeah. And then, Rob, you get a soft 18 against the dealer 10. And like any blackjack player, including myself, who knows what the right play is and I know what play I'm going to make, you have some pause. Because it's not an easy play to make, but you looked at me and I was like, yeah, the book says to hit. And you hit, and I think it didn't go well. I think you got like a six, and then you busted or something like that, right? I can't remember. I don't think it – or maybe you got a – I don't know. Do you remember what you – I felt
actually
like-
– actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think I was shocked because it may have like improved my hand or got me to 21, but the pit boss was sitting right there just like waiting for me to, you know, make a bad move or whatever, you know, once she saw that we were talking about it.
Yeah.
But I think it actually worked out well for me that one time, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't, I knew it wasn't a double down hand, but I think it actually may have helped my hand.
Okay, good. I remember there was one of the, it must have been when I was playing at Harris, where I got this soft 18. And I hit and it got and I got like a rag card and then I busted or whatever. Like it didn't go well.
Yeah.
But no one got in a disagreement then. When we were sitting there, the lady, the floor person who was supervising the game, made the joke. Well, you know the book was written for some or by the casino or something like that, right?
And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what she said. The book was written by the casino. Like, no, the casino was made by the casino, and y'all make plenty of money. We know that.
Yeah, I was like, no, I've actually read a lot of these books, and all of them made by successful blackjack players.
People you don't allow to come in here. You know, you don't want them at this table right now.
Yeah, actually, the book was written by Edward Thorpe, not the casinos. But, you know, she was making the case that, oh, there's more cards that can hurt you than help you. And of course, I vented about it a little bit on, I guess I didn't vent, but I mentioned it on social media. And you can bet on that, and essentially Mark Duvall, because he runs that Twitter account, pointed out that one thing that players and dealers need to understand is 18 is not a good hand. It's not a good blackjack hand. We stay on it because the dealer has to stay on 17. Therefore, like you have the opportunity to win that, and you know when you're at an 18, you're gonna lose more often if you try to hit. You know, like there's reasons why, but you don't stay on 18 because it's a good hand. And I know someone out there probably knows better than I do, whether it's Mark or Mike Shuckelford or whoever, but if you're listening, please respond to this. I think like the average dealer hand is like 18.3 or 18.4 or something like that. It's somewhere in there. And so an 18, right, is always going to lose against that average. And so when you have an 18 against the dealers, I think it's 9, 10, and maybe and an ace? I don't know. I feel bad that I didn't pull up a strategy card here. But soft 18 versus a 10, it's a hit, and... that's what we did, and we were ridiculed for believing in such things.
Yeah, it's kind of like when I was first learning blackjack back when I first got to go to the casino when I turned, or I guess I learned it a little before I turned 21, but I kind of had to teach myself and kind of imprint on my brain the same thing of like when a dealer has a two, you know, it seems like, oh, well, if they flip over a 10 and then pull another 10, it's a bust. But at the same time, what are the odds, you know, of them showing a two and them actually working to a bust is that it's actually pretty slim chance, you know?
Yeah. Dealer 9, 10 or ace, when you're at a, dealer hits on soft 17, which is the only game I saw anywhere in Biloxi.
Yes, yeah, that's pretty much all I ever see too. Which I'm not looking towards the high limit tables. I'm sure they're a little bit different, but yeah, you stay under pretty much under that $25 range. You're pretty much guaranteed it's going to be a hit on soft 17.
Yep. So hit your soft 18 when you're in that situation. That was number incident number one of me getting a disagreement with casino staff. Oh yeah, you made the joke. I'm reading through your tweets here. You made the joke that I made a 5 or 6 card 21. I remember that. I was like, hit. Yeah. It gets to that point where like you get to 16 after like you take like 4 cards and you're only at 16. It's like, come on! And I finally hit. I get the 21 and I was like, whoo, that was a lot of work. The dealer was not happy about that comment. She wasn't mad. She was giving me a hard time, but she was pointing out that she was really the only one doing any work. So.
She did not have to think twice about telling you that either. It's not like she had been saving that up or whatever else. As soon as you threw out your comment, she went quickly into hers of, yeah, you're not doing any work. I've got that taken care of here.
Yeah. You took off. You had something you needed to do. I played video poker for the rest of the time there. I think the video poker they had at the bar was 8-5, which isn't great, but at the bar, I'm fine with playing that. I was playing quarter, jacks were better, pretty much for the rest of my time there. I think I was trying to see. At the quarter rate, I wasn't able to play enough to accumulate the points I needed for like the I can't remember what promotion I was trying to get. It was either a free play offer or a buffet or something like that. But I was like, well, I'm gonna see if I can get there. And it just wasn't enough coin in to quite get there when it was time to take off, because we then met up at the Beau Rivage, where we met up with the group.
Yep, I think that was around probably like 4 o'clock or so on Friday. That's where we met up at the Beau Rivage at the video poker bar there, just kind of right in the middle of the casino floor.
That's right. It was myself, you, of course, Bogan Painter, Chris Moore, and then Shiloh and Mark, right?
That's right. Yep.
That was
our group.
It was
6 of us.
Yep. Yeah, and it was. You know, we missed Eric Rosenthal, who unfortunately wasn't able to make it. But I think that it was a really nice group of like-minded gamblers, right? So the group gaming through the course of the weekend was actually really, really convenient. We all sort of appreciated the same game, same type of limits, you know. So it was easy to do the group gaming, I thought.
Yeah, that was one thing that was really nice for me, because usually when you go to the casino, you kind of got different viewpoints and to where everybody kind of wants to do their own thing, which is fine and good. You know, I want to do that on my own a little bit here and there. But yeah, I mean, we were pretty much all on the same page when it came to playing, spending some time on the craps table, and then, of course, spending some time playing Pai Gal, too.
Yeah, and you were at the video poker bar. We were all sitting away from the bar, and then Bogan was like, "All right, well, it's time to get a drink," and I'm pretty sure that means playing video poker. So we all got up and we hit the bar. You and Chris were playing and got scolded by some older lady for being too loud. Is that right?
Yeah, so me and Chris, actually, we went around to the other side because the bar there was pretty packed out. And so I know you and Bogan found a spot, and then me and Chris went around to the other side, and I had to run through some free play that was on my card there. And, you know, me and him were just kind of chatting, getting to know each other a little bit, talking about different stuff, talking about the ride over, things like that. And so I'm just kind of taking my time working through the free play. And then so I'm sitting at it, kind of leaned over my right shoulder talking to Chris. He's just kind of standing there. We're talking, and I'm just leaning back here and there, hitting draw, hitting hold, whatever else to kind of work through my free play. And there's this older woman sitting to my right. So she's kind of, you know, she's hearing our conversation, but not involved with it, whatever. And I didn't think anything of her. No big deal. We're at the bar. You know, there's noise, everything else. No big deal. Well, then just like all of a sudden, she just gets our attention and looks at both of us and just says, can y'all please be quiet? I'm trying to concentrate over here. And I mean, I was just dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. You know, I couldn't be mean to this, you know, older woman there. I didn't have the heart to do that. But at the same time, I was just like, what am I supposed to do here? We're sitting at a bar in a casino with, you know, plenty of noise, everything else. And she's just like, I really need to concentrate. And so me and Chris just kind of stared at each other, trying to like, what in the world is she talking about? I'm like, I said, well, I'll turn the other direction. So I turned over my other shoulder and started talking to Chris. But that's the best I could do, because I wasn't leaving the bar and I wasn't leaving the video poker machine. So I wasn't going to say, us roll out for any other reason. So we just turned the other way, and me and Chris we just kind of looked at each other funny and then talked about it later. But I mean, it was just kind of stunning. I've definitely never been told to be quiet for a normal conversation in the casino.
Yeah. So after a couple of drinks, we decided to go find some gaming to do. I think we stumbled. We decided on a $10 craps table because we just couldn't find anything else really called our name. So we hit the $10 craps table, and you started ordering this drink called a Walk Me Down. that I don't think any of us had actually seen or heard of until you ordered it. What is this drink?
Yeah, so a buddy of mine actually mentioned it to me years ago at the Beau Rivage, probably, if I remember correctly, on my 21st birthday. And he, you know, it's just this blue drink, whatever else. And I'm not much of a beer drinker. I like a good mixed drink, but not really beer. And so, you know, I gave it a shot, and it's this, you know, blue beach looking drink, whatever else. And I tried it, and, you know, it basically tasted fruity, and it's got alcohol in it, so it was good with me. And yeah. But later to come find out what it actually is it's the equivalent of like a Long Island iced tea, but instead of Coke or something like that, it's got like a blue Curacao in it. And so, I mean, it was really good, and I hadn't had it in such a long time, and I remember first having it at the Beau Rivage, and so that's why what I decided to start drinking. And then once y'all jumped in, I had to keep going.
So. Perfect. We played a little craps. It was sort of like it was up and down, but on the ups we had a couple good rolls, and that's what I think helped everybody else. I think everybody sort of left ahead. Some of the colder rolls were sort of quick enough to where we really didn't have too much exposure. The nicer rolls were longer enough to sort of make up for that, plus a little bit more. Myself, Shiloh had some really good rolls. Some other people at the table, but I think the two things that were the most amusing things that happened at the table. One, the stickman. This is the first time I'd ever seen a stickman do this, but I'm sure it's a common joke. The stickman with the stick in his right hand and over his right shoulder. You were to his left. I was into your left. And he would bring the stick around his back and use the tip of the stick to tap you on the shoulder. And I didn't realize what was happening at first. And you were just like, "Are you tapping me on the shoulder?" Like you're questioning me. You're like, "Are you hitting me? Something's tapping me. What is it? Are you tapping me?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Maybe I brushed it. I don't know." And then about 10 minutes later, I actually see the stickman do it, and I start laughing. And I didn't want to blow his cover, and I was like, "Just I'll tell you guys when the crafts the game is over." And finally, I think he admitted to it. How did you figure out that's what he was doing?
I don't know who said it to me first, but what the stick man ended up telling me was that his boss there across the table, what do you call it, Boxman, he was the one who told him to apparently cut it out. But I had never seen anything like it, you know, or I kept looking back behind me, and I felt this light tap on my shoulder blade, and I thought, like, you know, I bet you I looked behind me about four or five different times, and then one time I asked if it was you, and you thought you might have grazed me with your elbow, and I thought that was kind of odd. One time I turned around and saw a straw on the floor. I thought somebody threw a straw at me. I started looking up into the sky. I had no clue where it was coming from, and then it just kept going, and I'm just like, well, I'm not turning around anymore. And I remember telling you, I convinced myself that I had like a Charlie horse in my shoulder blade because it was the same spot, like the same like three taps every time, and I thought it was just like a muscle twitch, and I was like, oh, whatever, you know, it ain't hurting me. So I just kept on going, and then I remember when you jumped back and started laughing and stuff, and you're like, I'll just tell y'all after we're through. I just assumed you saw something, like somebody getting a wrong payout or whatever else, and you just kind of like hush hush, you know, no big deal, just something was funny. And then I never in a million years would have imagined that he was hit me with that. And I mean, it looking on it now, it's like the most obvious thing, but I guess he was just, you know, I wasn't even paying attention, because as soon as he pushes those dice out and, you know, they bring that stick back up, well, you know where I'm looking, just like everybody else, I'm looking at the freaking dice, you know. So right. So I wasn't paying attention, but I bet you he did that too for at least 45 minutes, maybe an hour.
So funny. And then the other amusing thing was the Bogan was next to one of the dealers, and on our side of the table he was next to the dealer, and the dealer I guess was misheard what we were calling Bogan and thought his name was Logan. And even the first couple times that he said Logan wrong, I tried to put an emphasis on the B to try to let himself naturally correct himself, but he didn't pick up on it. And so then we were just like, screw it. We just started calling Bogan Logan for the rest of the trip. And it became Bogan's like alter ego that we would call upon at certain times. But we were laughing because you know, like the dice would come around to him, like, come on, Bogan. Like, I would really try to put an emphasis on the B, and the dealer didn't pick either. He didn't pick up on it, or he just wanted to roll with his own bit. And so, Bogan became Logan for the rest of the trip. So that was amusing.
Yeah, and I think every time that we said Logan or emphasized Logan, or I think I tried to call him Logue a time or two, and the dealer just jumped in it more and more. For every time we'd say Logan once, he'd say it about four or five more times, picking at him, trying to be funny. And, I mean, we were all having a good time, so it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. After crafts, we had a reservation at BR Prime Steakhouse. Just fantastic food, fantastic service. I had steak with some crab meat on top. I had some crab mac and cheese. I had a really nice old-fashioned. Just really great food, really great service. And if I go back down to Beau Rivage, I'm definitely going to be looking to have another meal there.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't eaten there in many years, I don't believe. And yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. It was excellent steak, and I mean, I just got like a simple mashed potato side. But I even told my wife when I got back home that was the best mashed potatoes I've ever eaten in my life. Just something as simple as that.
So after we ate there, we rounded up Shiloh and Mark, who I think had just hit a royal flush, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah, they sent us a picture on the group message, and it was in the high limit room too, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they were playing for, but yeah, they hit some kind of royal flush on one of those like triple play machines or something else. So they turned out pretty well while we were eating dinner.
Absolutely, yeah. So congratulations to them. And then we hit up a $10 pie gal table, which for what it was a Friday night, so $10. That's super affordable for pie gal at that time of the day. And that's sort of where we spent the rest of the night. And everybody sort of slowly trickled out as they were ready to call it a night. But it was a long, slow burn, which was what you expect pie gal to be.
Yeah, yeah, and that's pretty much what it was for me, too. I think probably, four or five of my first hands were pie gals, and so it wasn't going too good. But then it kind of settled out, and then it kind of lulled down again. And I think the only thing that ended up saving me halfway decent that right there at the end of the night was I hit, like, let's see, it was a straight flush, I think. It was five diamonds, I think, like four through nine, something like that. But yeah, that was actually my first straight flush I've ever even hit at pie gal, which I don't play at all as often in any – anymore as I used to, but I was surprised that was actually my first straight flush I'd ever hit there before.
Yeah, and I don't think there wasn't any weird stuff with the staff there. I think it was just I think the crew was nice. The other players we played with. Oh, there was one lady who had just a little bit too much wine.
Before we got there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she wasn't a bother or anything, but she, you know, we were. I think everybody. Everybody has experience. She didn't bother us in any way, but we were relieved when she left.
yeah, she was just kind of like, yeah, she was kind of funny at first, and then just kind of, you know, slowing down the game, kind of messing with her chips, for which I wasn't sitting next to her and stuff like that. But you know, she'd hop up and get on her cell phone, and that all that's fine, well and good. I really don't mind what other players do any of the time. But the catch was I could tell it was even bothering the dealer a little bit. So that's when I kind of got a little aggravated, not enough to say anything. But yeah, she just kind of slowed down the pace of the game a little bit.
Yeah. So then, we called it a night. Next
yep.
morning, we met up for brunch. Or we didn't meet up for brunch. You guys met up for brunch. Where'd you guys go to brunch?
Yeah, we went to this place. Actually, my sister was one. I've never been there before, but my sister was the one who mentioned it to me. It was called, like, Philip with Billups. It's basically like it's kind of built like an old gas station or something like that, but you can go inside and, you know, but they just had all kinds of breakfast foods and, you know, some fancy stuff, some simple stuff. I just got some kind of waffle with, like, bananas Foster on it. I mean, it was really good, but it was just a walk right across the street from the Beau Rivage. So I know Chris was staying there, and so we all just met up there before, pretty much everybody came except you, because I know you were tied up working, and so we just kind of took our time there and saw the football game starting for the day as we were finishing up to head on over and meet you.
Yeah, and we met up at Golden Nugget to watch the Big 12 championship as well as some other games. I got a few bets down that day. I think I'm splitting it 2-2. One of the plays that I lost was Alabama at -7 at the half, but I ended up winning the under 63.5 when 63 became the total. But during halftime of that game, we all wandered over. There was a $5 craft table going on. We all went over there. It went pretty good. You had a really good roll, and you had an unorthodox way of rolling. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so we had been playing. I think, let's see, you and Chris were on one side of the table, and me and Bogan were on the other side just as we filled in. And, I mean, me and Bogan were just talking, about whatever was going on. And we may have each already rolled one time and it came around again. I don't know. We were there for a little bit. And without telling Bogan or any of y'all, I decided I was going to try and throw the dice overhand. So I had seen a guy do it last summer when I was first in Vegas. I went over to see the VSiN studios at the South Point Casino over there to visit Gil for the first time, you know, after listening to his show and podcast. And, you know, it was real early in the morning, shoot. It was like 6 a.m. that I got over there, I think. And I just happened to see this craps table I walked up to, and this guy had been rolling on it all night, making all kinds of money, apparently. And he was just joking, kidding around with the dealers and stuff. And he grabbed those dice, and, you know, I've seen them set a million different ways and thrown a million different ways, but he grabbed them, put them next to each other, pick them up, and then he'd toss them just like almost like a softball lob, but overhand. And I mean, it was just the nicest, and it would sit down on the other side of the table. And I mean, he was hitting point after point after point, and I was just stunned by it, you know. And so, needless to say, I'd wanted to do it since then and give it a shot, and I was just like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to give it a shot now. So I didn't tell anybody, but as soon as that guy hit the stick, man, pushed those dice to me, I grabbed them, and I threw them across the table overhand, you know, trying to get that nice lob on it to keep them on the table. And, I mean, it looked like – I mean, the noise, the looks, everything, it looked like everybody wanted to kill me when I did that. Like, they didn't know if I just, like, shot somebody or what. I think if you pulled a – you know, if you pulled a gun out in the casino, people would be less concerned than if I just threw those dice across the table like that. I mean, they were scared to death. And then, you know, of course, one of the dice has to pop off the table too.
Right.
So the dealer's looking at me kind of funny, you know, kind of, you know, wondering what in the world's going on. And I just, you know, I just break the silence, you know, and I was just like, I said, am I not allowed to do that? He's like, no, it's fine. I said, well, I'll give it one more go. I said, but if I bounce them off again, I'll stop. And then sure enough, I threw them, and I set, I think it only took me like 5 rolls to set 2 points and make them both.
Yeah.
And it worked out well, and I remember you kind of messing with me a little bit about it, but, you know, especially after I hit that second point, it was fun and games at that point, because, you know, it was basically house money. But I think I bounced them off the table one more time, and so I gave it up. I didn't want to be, you know, an aggravation, but I still ended up hitting like 3 more points. So, yeah, that's a crazy impressive roll, but for me, who I've had some seriously bad runs lately, that was a great roll for me. It definitely made an impact, because I think the table had been a little bit of a slow yep. grind there downwards, and that got me back up quite a little bit.
Yep. We wrapped up on craps. We grabbed something to eat over at Bubba Gum Shrimp. It was what it was. We went over to. What's it called? Palace.
The Palace.
The Palace.
Yep,
there we go.
The Palace.
It confused me because it wasn't like, because I'm so used to saying Palace Stations, and I had the hardest time remembering if it was called Palace or Stations, because I knew it was only one of the words.
Yeah, and even when I first started visiting there in my, you know, years back, it used to get real confused with the IP Casino, which was also, you know, formerly known as the Imperial Palace Casino. So it used to get a little bit of confusion there, yeah, but they are just referred to as the Palace.
Yeah. So we were there. We played a little bit of craps. It was sort of underwhelming, but some people had some pretty good rolls. And then we moved our way to a $5 Pie Gal table, where we were simultaneously watching or playing Pie Gal while watching the end of the Alabama Georgia game. So it was so fun. I mean, we're such degenerates at this moment, right? Because we're sitting here trying to like play our hands, and in between hands, we're checking our phones for the scores of the games that aren't on, because there's only one screen showing the Bama Georgia game. Myself, you, and your friend had bets going on in other games, and so like in between hands, we're like watching the Alabama Georgia game, looking at our phone to see what's going on in the other games, and then also setting our Pie Gal hands. It was a really great moment as a gambler, because it's like you like you just you're, you feel like you're in it, right? You're like, oh, there's so much action going on.
Yeah.
But we finally took it. We actually I think the three of us actually stepped away from the Pie Gal table to watch the end of the Alabama Georgia game, which was exciting for some, a letdown for others. I was okay with it because it landed on 63 points, which won my under. But that was a fun moment. That was probably some of the most fun that I had during the weekend.
Yeah, that was – it's real nice whenever you can play it, you know, like you said, a little cheap $5 Pie Gal table, so you can be checking that and then, you know, focused on a little bet across the way, watching the TV across the room and everything else. So, yeah, that's about as good as it gets there.
Yeah. I had the second issue with – it wasn't a disagreement, but this was the second moment. And I don't know if I actually brought this up to any of you guys when it happened or even shortly after. I wasn't so we were at this table, and there was four of us, and then there was two others, the two ladies sitting to my right. They were always playing the bonus. I was not playing the bonus. They were always playing the bonus. And while they were playing there, I think I ended up getting one. I think early in them sitting down, I got a straight flush. And the lady to my right was super nosy. She was always looking at my hand when I opened it up. And I opened it up, and she started straight flush, like she was like celebrating it, and whatever. It was actually a good hand for. I think I had a straight flush with like a hot, like a king queen or something. It was a nice hand, right? And so I just set it, and I was fine, right? I made no comment about the side bet. I made no like, oh, of course I didn't play it or whatever. I made zero comments. I set my hand, and that's it. And I hear the dealer say to the lady at the end of the table, "Well, it's his fault. He's not playing it." Well, fuck you, lady. Like, I didn't say one thing about, like, not play, but it was such a rude comment to make about someone and I think, one, she was sick. We could tell that she was under the weather. She was constantly, like, wiping her nose with this handkerchief she had and stuff like that. And I kind of got the impression that maybe she was... annoyed's not the right word for it, but it's probably the best one. I think she would have rather have not had a bunch of sports bettors sitting at the table that was like simultaneously doing it. And so I wonder if that comment came out of frustration from that, but it was still super, it was really unprofessional for her to say that, especially since I said nothing about the hand, and they were the ones making a big deal about it, and she was, and they had envy bets. They got paid. Right? Like, they got the part of the bet that they, like, there's me making the bet wouldn't have been better for anybody else, and I'd been playing enough Pi Gal that I would have lost 10 times that same amount if I would have played it. And so, oh my goodness, I was glad that when that game was over, like, all right, let's go do something else.
Yeah. I'll never understand why folks, you know, worry so much about other people's hands or even the dealers. Like, and it's all well and good if you joke about it or you bring it up or whatever else. But I did kind of notice that, but I think it was there as some of the games were ending or whatever else. And yeah, me and my buddy Justin, we were probably tied up on our phones checking some of the other scores as it happened. So I didn't get, I didn't notice it as thoroughly as you did, obviously, but I do remember that faintly, hearing them get worked up. But yeah, that is one thing I feel like every time I'm down there when it comes to playing Pi Gal is everybody's checking everybody's stuff. And, watching the bonuses like a hawk, and especially when you get some folks who play a little bit higher money and they're betting as much on the bonus as they are on the main hand. Yeah, they get worked up about other folks' stuff. But I did not hear the dealer say that to you, and I can assure you I wouldn't have held my tongue if somebody, you know, kind of instigated it. Like, nobody's complaining, you know, that you weren't playing it and you didn't win it, because yeah, just like you said, you would have ended up clearly losing more than that in the long run.
Side bet shaming was strong in Biloxi. we went to they had a promotion there at Palace that for new players, if you got a certain amount of points, and it was a really low amount, if you got a certain amount of points, you'd get some free play. And I got some free play. I don't remember how much, but it was more than like it wasn't the $5 or $10, because it was one of those like kiosk games, like spin a wheel. And mm-hmm. I got more than you typically would get. I think it was like 20, 25 bucks. Like, it wasn't, no, it must've been like, it must've been only 20 bucks. I remember not being that, still not being like overwhelming. I sat down at a machine, and I don't really know how slot machines work. I try to find one that's as simple as possible so I can kind of follow what's going on. And I ended up getting, like, in my second spin, got a bunch of bonus spins. I don't know how, but I did. And it just kept on spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning, and I ended up turning what must have been $15, $20 into about just over $100. So, cool. nice little turnaround on some free play.
Yeah, I remember you saying that you had won. I did not remember that you had said that it was that much. So yeah, that's about as good as you could hope for with that.
Yeah, I believe so. Then we run to IP after that.
Let's see. After we left there, we actually went and ate dinner at the.
That's right.
What was that? Half Shell? Is that what it's called? Half Shell Seafood, I think.
Yeah, I had a
Half Shell Oyster House, something like that.
Yeah, I had a shrimp po' boy. It was a fancy shrimp po' boy with some special sauce. It was okay. The service was super slow.
Yeah. That's why I was having to think, and that's why it seemed like it kind of drug on after we left the Palace, because yeah, it took forever. I mean, we were just all talking and whatever else, but boy, yeah, by the time we realized it, we had been there forever.
Yeah. We went to IP, walked around. Bogan, Shiloh, and Mark went into the lounge to get some fancy booze. By the time they came out, we walked around. The floor was so busy there was just going to be no place for us to sit down. So we kind of called it a night.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. Right. Yeah. We went back to Golden Nugget and to cash some tickets, and the kiosk line was slow, like I'm mentioning, and it was the people who were just sitting there staring at it like they don't know what they're doing, and people who were just hanging out, like on the phone, talking to their friend about what they're seeing. It was so annoying. All I'm trying to do is cash this ticket. So then I got frustrated and went straight to the counter. The counter was then also like painfully slow, and we were only like two people back in line, and it was painfully slow. Finally, I get up to the counter, and I'm like, and I realize she's scanning the ticket and then looking at how, and then using a analog calculator to add it up. And I was like, oh, why do you have to use a calculator? And she explained that the calculator function in their system had malfunctioned on one of her shifts where she was short $800, and the company or the bot, whoever was in charge, was going to make her liable for it. As in, like, nope. She got written up, and it was like a blemish on her record that the that she followed the machine, she did everything in that automated, but because she didn't pick up on it, it was a blemish on her account, and she was like, well, that's not happening to me again, and was using a calculator. And so that's one of the things that ended up taking so long, because one of the people who was in line ahead of us had like 25 bets, right? And so the person that's dealing with it had to like scan them all that were winners and then add them all with a calculator, and I'm sure he did it like three times to make sure he had, because with that many bets, you know, he wants to make sure you got it. Anyways, that was I was blown away that was what was going on. It's a calculator. How are you messing up a calculator function? It's like, it's, we've been using this for how long have calculators been a thing? Why does your calculator function suck? Oh my goodness.
And that's one sports book down there that's supposed to be like the most technologically ahead of everything else, one of those European companies or whatever else, and they've got all of these, you know, special parlays and buyout early things is what I've heard about them. And I was really excited about going by that sports book, but I tell you what, they just overcomplicated everything, obviously, to make it, you know, to where it's just, you know, almost a waste of time going there.
Yeah. So we ended up going back to Harris. Didn't find a game that really called to us. We all wanted to sit down. You and your friend left. That was the last time, I think. That's when you and I parted ways, I believe.
Yep.
And then Bogan and I sat down for some blackjack that went just as bad as the pie go from the night before. I mean, it was bad. We were not catching hands. The next morning, I did some work. I got ready. I was ready to head out. And Bogan and I went to IP to do some play. We played with Shiloh and Mark, played some blackjack that went a little better, but still sort of went way south. I actually played, I don't think you know this, Rob. They had a side bet there that was, if you're playing the side bet and you got a blackjack, you got to spin this virtual wheel, right? And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, the side bet was $5, right? And so I'm obviously not just going to autoplay it, because I knew I had to have a high house edge. But I was like, well, I bet you that if you had a deck that was like 2-1 on aces, that maybe you could time a blackjack. And so I was paying attention to the aces, and finally, I think on the second or third shoe, I noticed that only one ace had come through in half the shoe. And so we're right there. We're at this point where there's twice as many aces to the amount of decks that, you know, so the aces ratio is about 2-1 on how many there are versus how many there should be at this point. And so I was like, screw it, I'm going to try it. Sure enough, I got a blackjack. Oh, man, it was brilliant. I felt like such an AP. I was like, oh my goodness, this is brilliant.
You'd have really made it if they kicked you out before they let you spin the wheel, right?
Oh man, I would have loved it if they would have booted me. But it was weird because it wasn't just like the little it's one of those side bet bonuses that has the light, right, where you put your chip on it and it lights up and that's mm-hmm. what indicates.
Yep,
like,
yep.
And on that, you actually circle your finger on this thing to quote unquote spin the wheel. Whatever. It took a while for them to get it to work right. It finally worked. I got $40. But it was it wasn't like super exciting, but it was kind of cool. Because I was like sort of like, you know what, I'm gonna try it now, and it worked. And I tried it. I think I tried it one other time. I got the ace, but I didn't get a blackjack. So I still felt kind of smart that I was still sort of So I'm sure that there's actually a way to maybe take advantage of that. Maybe not. Maybe there's no way. Maybe the payouts aren't enough to like overcome a house edge on that. But I thought it was interesting. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, next time you go, we'll all go there and try and see if we can get kicked out of the casino playing $5 blackjack and $5 bonus bets.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? There's on that virtual wheel, there are two slots where you get paid and anybody else at the table who had a bet gets paid, right? So anybody else who had the bonus to get paid. So if you really were paying attention and you sort of came to a part of the shoe where the aces are kind of dank, yeah. It would be for fun, right? I mean, I wouldn't do it for fun. I'd be like, all right, let's do it. Now's the time, right? And see if one works out.
Yeah, or especially if you got a table full of folks, you know, you'd think maybe one or two of y'all would at least get something.
Yeah. Absolutely. Bogan took off. I took off. It was a pleasure seeing everybody. I went to go. I went back to my room. I checked my flight. Noticed that it had been delayed 3 hours, and I was like, "Oh, I was going to end up getting into DC at 2:00 in the morning." And so I got a hold of my wife, and we had plans the next day to go hiking and stuff. And so I'm telling her like all these things, like, "Hey, make sure the car is ready. Get this stuff ready. Like, when I get home, I'm going straight to bed. You wake me up, like, literally, like, at this time, like so we can just get up and go." And she was like, "Okay." And then 10 minutes later, she was like, "I don't know. Like, you probably shouldn't be driving, you know, if you're too tired." I'm like, "Yeah, all right." And so I changed my flight. Fortunately, Southwest makes that super easy. The flight ended up being cheaper, so I actually got a little money out of it on the swap, I think. Southwest does that and giving you the difference. I don't know. Maybe not. I already had the car through Monday. I already had the hotel through Monday, and that night, the Sunday night, was a comp night. And I had enough reward credits to still feed me. So it didn't cost me anything more to stay that extra night. So I hung around that night, and here was the last two moments that I had with my disagreements with the dealer. Actually, there was three of them. Holy smokes, this happened three times. All right, number one, I was banking in Pai Gao, and I actually won a hand from the copy advantage. Both me and the dealer had an ace queen up top. I was banking. The dealer had actually kind of made it known. She was nice about it, but she kind of made it known that she doesn't really understand it. But she didn't like give me a hard time. And then I was like, look. And when it happened, I was like, that's why I bank. That right there. And so it was pretty cool. It was the first time that a copy advantage had actually like gone in my favor during banking. But, Rob, literally 15 minutes later, the floor supervisor, she made a comment. She was like, she told me that banking is stupid. And she was trying to be funny about it, but I'm like, it's not. I mean, you're telling me that the way that I'm choosing to gamble at your casino is dumb. And I'm sorry. Like, I'm playing a negative EV game. Just let me play the way. I'm allowed to do. If you don't want me to do this, just say we don't allow that. Right? Like, really. If it comes down to you find it to be an inconvenience or you don't want it to happen, just don't let me do it. I almost prefer that than you to let me do it and like try to ridicule me while it's happening. So that was number one. Number two, got a dealer. And I'm sorry, that was the last one of the night. Number two, a gentleman wearing a Cardinals jersey. This actually doesn't have, the reason I didn't mention this on Twitter is because it doesn't actually have anything to do with gambling, but I thought it was super unprofessional from the dealer. He was wearing a Cardinals jersey. The Cardinals had just upset the Packers. Mike McCarthy had just been announced. Like, so the Cardinals fans must have been pretty excited at that moment. So I was like, "Oh, you a Cardinals fan?" And he's like, "No, this is my middle finger to all the pansies that want to kneel."
Oh gosh!
And right away I was like, "Oh, he's wearing a Pat Tillman jersey, right?" Like, I knew right away. Like, I was like, "Okay, that's the jersey he's wearing." And so my response was, as someone who's very, you know, very familiar with veterans, the veteran space and stuff, I was like, oh, that's interesting that you're choosing Pat Tillman's jersey, since his wife has asked people not to use him in politicizing this argument. And Rob, he stared at me, for 5 seconds with this, like, I don't know what to say. Look.
Yeah. I assure you, he doesn't get many responses like that in South Mississippi for sure. But why anybody brings that into the workplace, mixing and matching with customers and everything else? It's just gonna start something. Nothing ever good would come from that.
Here's the ironic part. He made the argument because he tried to justify.
Oh no, he kept
himself.
Going.
Yeah, he tried to justify because it was me and a Vietnam veteran sitting at the table, and so we had talked about being in the military, so I think he felt comfortable with talking about it, and so he finally was like, oh yeah, well I guess I didn't realize that she said that, but and started saying, and he made the argument that don't bring it to your workplace. He said that about the football players. Don't bring this to your workplace. They're like, you're right, your workplace right now. I couldn't.
Oh gosh.
Look, I'm not making a political stance here. Regardless of how you feel about that debate, I think we can all agree it's super unprofessional to have that conversation at the pie cow table.
Yeah. Somebody, I mean, that's literally like your waiter just walking up to you, just asking you who you voted for. You know, it's just like, what are you thinking over there? You know,
all he had, when I asked, are you a Cardinals fan? All he had to do was say no, but I like Pat Tillman. I actually probably would have known why, but that would have been super appropriate. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then, new dealer change, and Rob, here comes number three for the evening. There was a new player at the table. She was learning Pai Gow, and then she mentioned that she wanted to learn Baccarat. And I told her, I was like, oh, while you're learning, just know that the banker has a lower house edge. And the dealer started arguing with me that wasn't the case, and then also proceeded to argue with me on whether or not the player bet even had a house edge, as she claimed that it did not.
And I was like, might have to research that before our next trip and find that one without the house edge.
This was after her boasting that she'd been a dealer for 20 years. And I was like, you've been dealing here for 20 years and you think the casino's booking action that doesn't have any house edge? Like, what? I couldn't believe it. And thankfully, it was like it was like the universe was tugging at me. I lost the very next hand. I lost, and I was like, "That's a cue." And I got up and I left. I don't know which of the three, the Tillman jersey notwithstanding, of the three gambling disputes, I don't know which one is the worst. But maybe the player. Robin, and then this we'll end this and we'll wrap up our. The thing I hate the most about dealers and supervisors and pit bosses and all that being wrong is these are people that are telling gamblers these as facts.
Exactly. Yep. That's what these folks are learning from. And they can each play however they want to play, but you at least want them to have that kind of right information right off the bat. That's one thing, like when I see a new player at craps or blackjack or wherever else, like I try not to get in their business too much. But if I see they're trying to learn, you know, I'm more than willing and happy to help them. But especially when I hear that dealer give bad advice, I'll try to, as politely as I can, you know, tell them like, no, I don't think that. And then, you know, but yeah, whenever it gets a little more heated, I just, okay. Agree to disagree, but I'm, you know, I've read enough about this to know this.
Yep. I don't expect dealers to correct wrong play, to be honest. I don't expect if there's a guy who is adamant about standing on his 16 against a dealer 8 because he doesn't want to bust. If a dealer wants to mention it's not like what the proper play is, that's cool, but you know, you have to hound that player for it. But telling a player, hey, this bet is better than this bet when it's actually mathematically not true, you're actually convincing them to, over the long term, lose more money to your establishment, and I ethically find that wrong. So, all in all, though, I know it's a really, I was telling my wife all of these the next morning when I got home, Rob, and she looks at me, she's like, why is this fun? And I was like, oh, well, I mean, like, those moments were not fun, but, like, I had fun with the people that I was with, and that's really what it came down to. Chris Moore, Bogan Painter, Shiloh Mark, and yourself, Rob, I had such a great time hanging out with you guys, gambling, and get to know you all a little bit better. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yep. Same here. I've looked forward to it for a long time to meet some of y'all, and in addition to do it in Mississippi, where I've been waiting on sports betting for quite a long time. Yeah, it couldn't have been a better weekend.
Rob, is there anything from the weekend that I'm missing that we need to make sure that the listeners are aware of?
No, not that I can think of. You know, it's just a work in progress with the sports betting. You know, but you know, a lot of fun down there, a lot of fun to be had, and the main thing that me and you talked about throughout the weekend was you know, just a lot of the options with the lower limits, and actually when I go down there, I usually don't bounce between casinos as much as we did this time, but it was actually kind of nice to do that, to just kind of, you know, take a break to eat, go to another one, and it really, you know, I mean, within a 5-minute drive, pretty much you're to any of these casinos that you want to be. So I mean, it was really kind of nice to get around and about the city like I don't usually get to do when I'm there, and just really enjoyed every bit of it.
Very well. Well, Rob, I am confident I will be down in Biloxi at least once in 2019, and I look forward to spending some more time down there and doing a little bit more gaming and wandering around Biloxi with you and some of the other people in our community.
That sounds good. I look forward to it.
Big thanks again to Mississippi Rob for organizing all that. He did a great job figuring out sort of where we should go, and a nice tentative agenda that didn't lock us into anything. I think maybe dinner plans was the only thing that had like a time tied to it. The rest of everything was very fluid. So if we were stuck, not stuck, but if we didn't have anything to do, we knew what was next. Like, all right, well, we haven't done this yet. Let's go do that. And then at the same time, when we were really enjoying ourselves doing something, it didn't matter if we stayed there to keep doing that or not. We weren't holding anybody else up. So it was very fun. Enjoyed all of the gambling. Played a lot of Pai Gow. My goodness, I played a lot of Pai Gow. And that's what happens when it's only $5, $5 tables there. But a great time. I do plan on being in Biloxi. There have been rumors, and I briefly asked if it's okay to start hinting at this. Eric Rosenthal said it is okay to start hinting at this. There were rumors that we were going to try to do Gamble Palooza. I say we like I'm doing anything. I'm just promoting it. Vito is the one taking the lead on it. There was rumors that we were going to try to do Gamble Palooza down in Biloxi. That is not the case. It will be in another location. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to start talking about this yet. He said I was allowed to hint. I think I'm allowed to hint at it, right? He said I'm allowed to hint at it, which means I can tell where is it. We're looking at an Atlantic City Gamble Palooza in April. That is the current plans. Vito, Eric, if I've given away too much, please forgive me, but I could have sworn that I was told that I could hint at that. So it will not be in Biloxi. We do, when I say we, I, and I'm going to try to get Eric involved, we do plan on trying to make a separate trip down to Biloxi, so should happen in 2019, but it will not be as organized as an event as, well, I should say, that's not really the right way of putting it either. It won't be as grand of an event as we know Gamble Palooza to be. So more information on that. Follow Cousin Vito for more information, and do listen to his podcast. I'm sure he'll make more announcements there, but it sounds like that's the plan. Patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can go to support the show. Do appreciate everybody who pledges there. It helps motivate me to continue putting out good content and bringing you fresh content from all these gamblers. Occasionally throw on some bonus content from time to time regarding NFL previews or conversations that I've had with people that didn't make the show, stuff like that. No regular routine bonus content, but I do put bonus content up there. It has been asked, and Ryan, I'm looking into it. It has been asked if there's a way to get the audio posted on Patreon to listeners, to consumers, without having to use Patreon. I am looking into that as to the best scenario. I have found some leads, but I want to do a little bit more research to make sure that I find the most efficient way to do that. So I am looking into that. We're going to wrap up there. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I know there's so many opportunities out there
for entertainment. And I do appreciate you spending this time with The Better Life. We'll be back next week with another great interview. I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.